All right, joining us is Ken Maka. Of course, Mock managed the A's out here 2003 to 2006, averaged 90 wins or more per year. How about that? And, of course, managed the Brewers as well. He was a bench coach for Art Howe and knows more baseball than I'll ever know. And we love having him on the show. He's a resident of Pittsburgh, works with some college teams there. Mock, nice to have you with us.
Great to be with you, Marty.
Did I cover everything?
I should have hired you a little earlier to be my publicist.
I know. Instead, you hired Sam Spear, and that's the problem. So that's what.
Okay.
Happened.
All right. That could be a problem. Yeah.
Okay. Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and of course you're in Pittsburgh, and we love having you on when the Giants play the Pirates, and just to talk ball with you in general. But I made the comment earlier in the show about Clint Hurdle. Mock, and look, you could handle a bullpen. You knew what to do. You won division titles with the A's as well. But he gets four or five pitchers to get six outs, and then he brings in the guy throwing 100. Can you go through a whole season like that?
Well, you know what? The other day he did bring in Vasquez for two innings. I think it was against Washington when they had a day off the next day. You know, I think they've got a deep bullpen. They just haven't pitched very well here in the beginning of the season. They have Rodriguez out there. They've got Crick, who's pitched pretty well. They've got this guy, Birdie, who they picked up, and he's not okay. The guy I really like is Kayla, and he's just nothing but giving it up here early in the season. So I think they have the makings of a bullpen. These guys need to go out there and pitch a little bit. And you know what? If they had gotten, they've got the best record in the National League right now. If they had gotten a little better support from their bullpen, they could have had three more wins.
Boy, interesting. Yeah, I think, you know, whenever you, my feeling is when you bring in five or six pitchers to get the last nine out, something's going to happen. And so I saw it last night. I thought he pulled people too early, but whatever. You bring in the guy throwing 100, and that guy's legit. He's legit.
Oh, he is. Well, his nickname here is the Nightmare. So they kind of mess with that. I listened to Steve Brett Glass on the broadcast. Said he's a nightmare because nobody wants to see anything like that. But you know what? He not only has a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, he got a pretty good changeup, and he's got a good slider. So I just look at the Oakland A's closer and this closer here for the Pirates, and they both came from the Washington Nationals, and those guys were picked up for relatively little. So I don't know how that general manager in Washington still has his job.
Well, it's true. Mike Rizzo, there's no question about it. And it was Melanson for this guy. Melanson,
right.
Of course, ended up here. And Trinan, I can't even, Peacock, I mean, they had guys going, the same names going back and forth the whole time between the A's and Washington. Mark, what do you think of the Giants last night? I know you only got to see the one game against the Pirates, but Brandon Belt's 31 years old today. There was a time that 31, you're in the prime of your career and everybody wanted you. You're 31 today, and people go, wow, you're pretty old.
Well, you know what? It's always one of the things that we had the luxury of in Oakland was we always had a young guy coming up, okay? So as one guy went out the door, we always had a young kid coming in to fill in. And that's something I think it's very vital. You got to have that fresh blood. And I just don't want to portray the Giants as looking into the future and the future being just as the season goes on, but having those young guys in August and September, we always played very well there because these guys' legs were still fresh. They were young guys. So now you come down to end season and you've got some older guys in there, it really makes it tough.
You know, you always taught me about the months of a season, and I use it. April and May, you try to figure out who you are. June and July, you kind of fine-tune it. In the hot months, the kids take over, and when September comes along, the pros teach you how to win. So here we are in April and May. The Giants are 8-13. Everybody's very nervous about the start. What do you tell people?
You know what? I had been thinking about that. I talked to Kurt Young this morning, And I remember my third year managing with the A's, we got off to a terrible start, and we did have some young guys. Those influx of the young guys were coming in, Joe Blanton, Dan Heron, those guys, those pitchers. And I was sitting on a plane with Kurt, and he was saying, "Now, what do we do? You know, we're 15 games under 500. I said, "Kurt, the only thing you can do is trust in your preparation and trust in your ability to have these players get better as the season goes on. So we just have to keep working hard." And that was with the pitchers, and Gerald Perry was my hitting coach at the time, and we talked to him about the same thing. Work hard with these guys. You know, a guy like Nick Swisher has to get better. He's got to hit some home runs. He's got to get on base better. So we went ahead and did that and trusted what we were doing, and it worked out well. So the time to panic is not April. That time, I think we were at the end of May, and we were 15 games under 500. Possibly a panic would have spelled disaster, but we kept our heads on, kept preparing properly, and it worked out good.
Boy, the game has changed a little bit. I mean, you had guys like Jack Cust and other people could strike out 200 times and hit home runs, and, you know, you didn't have many like that, but they were around. Today, if you do that, you're an all-star. Look at Joey Gallo or someone like that. The game has really changed to walk, strikeout, home run.
That's about it. I don't know how the fans coming in, and they want to see some action. They don't want to see the home runs. And I did a speech the other day for a church group, and I did some research, and you mentioned Jack Cust. He and another guy that played for the Diamondbacks way back when, I think this was in 08, I'm not sure, but they combined to strike out over 400 times, and Joe DiMaggio struck out, I think, was 380 times in his entire career. So the game has definitely changed. Another little story that I can relate to you, I was speaking with Ron Washington last year when the Braves came into town. And he mentioned something to me that I was unaware of, that the GM for the Braves came down to him early in the season and said, "Hey, if we don't improve our exit velocity, we're going to start losing games." At the time, the Braves were in first place, and nobody expected that, and they wound up winning the division. But I'm saying exit velocity. He says, "Yeah, we got some guys here that get jammed and boot the ball into the outfield, and when they do that, they get two RBIs." So that's a little bit different. I'll take the two RBIs with a jam shot, besides the guys going up there and striking out with the guys on second and third.
Boy, amazing. Well, you know, you managed against the Giants in this ballpark here. And they're, you know, of course, in this era of, as you called the stat, the launch angle and the exit velocity, Giants can't hit it out of this park. Now, do they have the right players to do it? And they're talking about changing the dimensions a little, maybe putting those bullpens in right center field and cutting down that triples alley a little bit. What do you think about this ballpark? If you're managing this ballpark or putting a team together, what would you like to see?
Well, I think you've got to look at it. You've got to have a center fielder that can run the ball down. It would be nice to have some speed at the top of your lineup in case these guys hit the ball the other way in the right center, and then that's an automatic triple. I think that particular play in baseball is one of the most exciting plays in the game. A hitter hitting the ball out in the right center gap and watching him run the bases, enjoying watching that athlete show his speed going from home to third. So my particular preference would be to leave the field the way it is and gear up your team hitting-wise so they can go ahead and take advantage of the field that way. Hey, look, the Giants had no problem when Barry Bonds was in there hitting the home runs. They had a team built to be able to do that. They had Richard Realia playing shortstop who hit a lot of home runs and Barry Bonds. So they had players that took advantage of that field, and they won a lot of games.
Yeah, Jeff Ken, Ellis Burks, you remember him from the Red Sox. Of course, Reggie Sanders. I still think right. It's a quality of the player. But today, you need – it's so funny because you work with college kids, and you have a great eye for the game. You have to find someone with a swing, like that Bellinger-type swing, or Kiki Hernandez, that swing that gets under the ball – and gets that, I hate to say the word launch angle, but that's what you need.
Well, that's the way it's designed today. I mean, I'd like you to walk back until about 1986, 87, something like that. So right then, those years, there was a big transformation in the game. Whitey Herzog was with the Cardinals, and they had Terry Pendleton and Ozzie Smith and Willie McGee and Vince Coleman and up and down that lineup. They had a big ballpark in St. Louis, and they tailored their team to that big ballpark. They had one slugger. That was Jack Clark. Okay, the rest of the guys were runners. And I'm going to tell you what, they terrorized the league with their speed, okay? Mm. And that's how they played, and they got in the World Series and all that kind of stuff. So the game has taken a transformation to this launch angle and hitting the home runs and stuff like that. Hey, good pitching will shut that down, okay? So this game may take another transformation, maybe 3, 4, 5 years from now, and it will be viewed differently than the statistics you're looking at now.
All right. Great. Ken Mock, always love having you on, Mock. All right, let's talk Pirates a little bit because you see these guys play. Bad collision last night, and was there any way to avoid that, Gonzalez and Marte running into each other?
Well, there was a communication problem. One thing that you teach the middle infielders is they're going to run back for that ball and keep going full blast until they hear something from the outfielder. So I would assume that Marte didn't call him off that ball and just ran him down. So I'll put the whole blame on Marte there. He should have called Gonzalez off the ball.
Okay. All right. Talion today, what do you know about him? Another big kid, 6'5", 230. He pitches well in Pittsburgh. What should we expect out of Talion today?
I'm going to tell you, this guy's got great stuff. He has got a power sinker. You're going to see tremendous movement on the fastball. He's mid to upper 90s with that fastball with movement, and he's got a good breaking ball. He has, his ERA is a little inflated. I think he gave up like 6 runs in a couple innings a few outings ago. I don't know how many of those were earned or non-earned, but they got him out of the game early. I think this guy's got big potential. So I hate to paint a dull picture for the Giants tonight, but they're going to need some good pitching to match what Tyone can do.
Yeah, they got Derek Holland. You remember Holland, left-hander. He's pitched well against the Pirates, and he really handles right. Left-handed batters. So we'll see what happens there. But that Holland for the Giants tonight. Now, tomorrow is Chris Archer, who had the – let's talk about the blow-up that he had, first of all, with Cincinnati. What do you think of that?
Well, the guy hot-dogged him a little bit. He hit a home run and stood there and looked at it. And, you know, we had a little alumni meeting about a week ago, and Bless said, hey, look, they're behind him. They throw the guy, okay? You got to have enough control to throw the guy if that's what you want to do. So he threw behind him and got suspended for 5 games for throwing behind him. But, you know, I just I saw in the paper today they suspended a hitter because he tossed a bat, and then that caused a little fight, and so other guys got suspended. But my philosophy was always, hey, Archer threw behind that guy. Why did he do that? What was the action that happened that you did that? So if you're standing there watching a home run, a little bit of the NFL comes into play where you say, hey, that's excessive celebration there. You hit the ball, start running, okay? Don't stand at home, play, watch it, okay? Don't try to make the other person look as bad as you can, okay? So I understand Archer felt that way. I never liked having a beanball war, but I'm glad to see that the guy that flipped the bat, whatever team that was, they wind up finding him, too. So let's stop this excessive celebration stuff, and that'll stop the beanball wars.
Yeah, that was Dietrich who watched it fly out of there. So what about Archer as a pitcher? Now, he's a free agent. Is he someone that you would say, boy, I want that guy?
You know what? I'm going to say I'm about 50-50 on him right now. He's got a good fastball. He's got an excellent slider. He really doesn't have a soft pitch where he can control the pitch comp. one of his first starts this year, 5 innings, 100 pitches, a lot of foul balls. He'll get some strikeouts. His command is okay, but he's going to be one of those guys that go out and pitch you 5 or 6 innings, and then you've got your, like you said earlier, 5 or 6 guys marching out of the bullpen to finish the game. So I'm a little 50-50 on him. And, man, I'm going to give you another little tidbit here about the Pirates. They got Archer. The fellow that pitched last night, they picked him up over the winter and for just very little. They picked up Williams the year before. And this all started when they got A.J. Burnett a long time ago. They pick up a guy that's mediocre for some team. He comes in here. He's a veteran. The pitching coach is able to give him a game plan and get him to go out there and execute. And now you've got Trevor Williams, who was just lights out last year. You got Jordan Lyles come in here and just pitch tremendous. They're hoping that can happen here with Archer. So in that matchup with add that all up with Tyone in there, that's a pretty stout starting staff with guys that they basically got from other teams.
But they got a hit at some point, and you look at the lineup, Josh Bell's the only guy who would scare you.
Well, they're hoping to get Polanco back. He's been on rehab the last couple days, so they're going to get him back. He's a bit of a force. They're hoping that Jung Ho Gung can return to his form of several years ago and get some power out of third base position. They've got high hopes for Starling Marte. They always have. He's got such a quick bat, and he's got TNT at the end of his bat where he can hit some home runs too. But still, you look back at it, all they have to do is go for one for four and hit a home run at a critical time, and that's all they're going to need if they continue to get the starting pitching that they have this year so far.
Oh, great. Boy, great to talk ball with you, Mark. I miss you. We miss you in the Bay Area. You were so successful here, and boy, we love to see you out here. I appreciate you being on.
No problem, Marty.
Yeah,
guys, have a good broadcast, and I'll be watching the Giants tonight.
All right, have a nice Easter, and always love having you on. Say hi to the family.
I'll do that. Bye-bye.
All right, that is Ken Maka. Boy, that is a baseball man, and that's a real compliment. All right, more coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.